everyone, friends. Thanks for being here. Namo myoho renge kyo. First order of business, thank you, Jay, one of our wonderful sangha. All of you pay attention to my words, and I appreciate that, in that I hope that those words lead you to your own insights and, of course, empower your practice. Jay caught me in a slight error, and so I want to make sure it's in the comments. You'll see it on the video in question. It was a recent video titled Hinayana versus Mahayana, and I was talking about the formations of thought. And for some reason, my brain got stuck on this as a reference to the Surangama, which also has a lot to say about meditation and those kind of things. But what I had in mind actually was the Satipatthana, in the words specifically about ceasing formations. And Jay caught me, and he actually quoted the sutta. So thank you, Jay, for that. And just for any of you who may have heard me misspeak or misremember the title of that sutra, and you may go hunting on Google for the Surangama and look for what I was quoting, I wanted to make sure I just said a couple of words on that. Thanks to Jay again for pointing that out. Is the Satipatthana sutra that I was thinking of. And now back to Gosho. This Gosho is a little odd, as Goshos go. You know, all of these extant writings of Nichiren, they're kind of scattered all over the place, not just Japan, but certainly within Japan. The actual documents, in whatever condition they're still existing in, are in collections, various collections, either of temples or of practitioners or scholars, etc. And in this, and you know, this isn't, I bring this up because it's pertinent to this particular Gosho, but it's also true of others. We have a collection of writings, and different organizations have different translations, all comparable. Some of them have translations of letters that whose authenticities have been questioned. Others are well known, especially the major documents, because they're quite shared amongst scholarship and temples, regardless of organizational sectarianism and that kind of thing. But I mean, that's just the nature of history. There's always somebody willing to rewrite it or twist it a little bit for their own gain. So I think this is one of the reasons Shakyamuni, in his wisdom, knew that this was human nature. And so I don't think it's a mistake or a just an idle goal, if you will, for his instruction that we study broadly Buddhist scholarship, commentary, and even outside of Buddhism. So I think that is to say that once we collect enough information, enough insights from different sources, we, and I know this to be true, this statement to be true, because this is exactly paraphrasing Shakyamuni in several instances, where he once again boils everything down to our own insight and our own path to realization. And so even when it comes to study of his words and words on his words, the fact of the matter is, the more data we collect, the more enlightened, the more insights we get as to the meaning of the words, rather than relying solely on words, which can not only in themselves be misleading, but in our perception of them can be misleading, which is probably more to the point. So all of that is to say that this very short Gosho is really a portion of a larger letter. This, in fact, by the history or a background given in this instance represents only 3 pages of a 12-page letter. So a lot can be said in 12 pages that is hard to reduce into, not only reduced into 3 pages, but only having that 3-page portion of the latter portion of the entire letter. As we know, Nichiren oftentimes spends a great deal of scholarship, a lot of time exploring the basis for what he's about to say. So if all we have is the latter portion of the letter, we hear what he's about to say without the benefit of all of his logistics, if you will, in order to lead up to that moment when he says it. So we're left to derive our own scholarship about what he's saying. I say that again because I think reading this Gosho will affect you in a different way than others, because we'll suddenly be getting to summation thoughts without the benefit of his leading us into it, which is kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? It feels different for without a better grasp of words this morning. I will say we're accustomed to a certain type of dialogue from Nichiren, if you will. And so this will feel a little bit stunted, maybe. But I think the message comes through, especially since this is a person he's communicated with often, and that we're talking about Shijo Kingo. And so by now you should know Shijo Kingo, a head regent for Lord Emma, has had his trials with other, his subordinate samurai and other samurai who wanted his position and his land and his fiefdom for themselves, see as a point of contention between him, not only from themselves, but from Lord Emma, that he's a follower of Nichiren or the Lotus Sutra, which they are Nembutsu or True Word. So they try to exploit that and create a division between Lord Emma and Shijo Kingo. And so we've read many Gosho trying to address this situation, try to calm Shijo Kingo, try advise him on how to behave. And we're dealing with samurai here who can make up their mind quite quickly and feel offended. Or feel their lives are in danger, because they are. This is the state of things in 13th century Japan. So, Nichiren is giving him advice here, and the title of the Gosho is Unseen Virtue, Invisible Reward, which at first doesn't give away a whole lot, but I will refer you back to discussions we've had previously, or videos I've posted previously on forbearance in Buddhism. He doesn't mention forbearance, or this translation doesn't anyway, as his expression. It's more poetically given the title of Unseen Virtue, Invisible Reward. And so this is an aspect of forbearance. We tend to think, I believe, of forbearance as tolerance, simply tolerance, like not reacting or overreacting to situations, right? But there's an aspect of forbearance that this Gosho does discuss, and that is that even though you might feel unjustly judged, or even in this case, betrayed by others, you know, none of us exists in our own bubble, so to speak, in that the others we know also are connected to yet others we know. We're a network. Whether we spend a lot of time knowing that entire network or not, that's a different matter. My point is that when when we experience a certain act in our relationship with a person, oftentimes that person and their interrelationships also play into our relationship with them. For instance, like we'll discuss here, a friend's wife, a brother-in-law's sister, you know, these kinds of extended relations, we need, and the admonition here is to not take that one relationship and in one fell swoop render judgment and therefore control your actions toward the other people in the group. They, although connected, are not that person, that specific relationship. And so that's an aspect of forbearance that is a little bit more complicated, but I think essential to understanding the Buddhist mindset about these sort of things. So without going into more interpretation, let's get into it, and I think you'll see where I'm coming from when I say these things. Again, this is from somewhere later in the letter, so it kind of starts in, boom, like you just walked into a conversation, and it begins, "Nothing is more fearsome in a human being than disloyalty." And I would say that's a very powerful truth. And by disloyalty, we don't just mean servitude, but we mean also relationships between human beings. And when a person either outright works against you or simply disparages you for what you do, there's a disloyalty in that. But as Buddhist, a disloyalty is also anything, again, I was just speaking on obstacles, anything that dissuades us from our practice of enlightenment, awakening, right? Anything that moves us away from Myoho Renge Kyo is not only an quote-unquote evil influence, but if it's amongst a circle of friends, not strangers, then there's an aspect of disloyalty in that, because as friends that we're in relationships with, whether they be work relationships or familial relationships, whatever, if they're in your circle of people that you know, then all of us in our circle should be working toward amelioration and supporting one another. So certainly something that dissuades you from your very practice of Myoho Renge Kyo is no longer supportive. In fact, it becomes an obstacle. And because it's an obstacle from someone we care about, we're in a relationship with of some sort of relationship, there's a disloyal aspect to that. It's a confrontation that in samsara is deeply personal, right? So it's scary when somebody is willing to deprive you of your dignity in a way, certainly, but disloyalty opens up a huge unknown of what other negative obstacles might be coming your way. So it's very disconcerting, right? So nothing is more fearsome in a human being than disloyalty. "Since your elder brother and your younger brother have of their own accord become enemies of the Lotus Sutra and cut themselves off from you, they are the disloyal ones, and you are not to blame." So this is familial. So Shijo Kingo, who's getting contrivances from his fellow samurai to try to break his bond with Lord Emma and put him in trouble, is also facing disloyalty, disparagement from his own brothers. So, knowing Shijo Kingo from what we've read, he's in deep yogurt here, right? And I'm sure the fact that Nichiren says, "and you're not to blame," is an assurance that seems to indicate that Shijo Kingo is humble enough to ask Nichiren's advice in that, have I done something wrong to drive these people away? Which is a side of Shijo Kingo we don't often encounter, right? So Nichiren goes on, but failing to protect their wives will certainly be seen as disloyalty. And this is an advice to Shijo Kingo. So he's not saying the brothers are not protecting their wives. What he's saying is that these brothers are actually other samurai in Shijo Kingo's orbit, his influence. They, I'm sure, being Nembutsu or True Word, are wanting nothing to do with their brother Shijo Kingo anymore because he's a follower of Nichiren's. And although they cut themselves off from Shijo Kingo, they are indebted to him because the lands they live on, the living they have, is because they're part of Shijo Kingo's fiefdom. So they may cut themselves off from him, but there's little more they can do other than try to work against him without hurting themselves, right? So what Nichiren is warning Shijo Kingo about is, though they've established themselves as enemies of the Lotus Sutra, not you particularly, but Shijo Kingo, but don't take out your frustrations with them on their wives. Their wives are another matter. So don't impose, in other words, strictures on their household, for instance, because this brother is being disloyal. Don't punish the household, because that will punish the wives, and now you're acting in samsaric revenge, and that's not upholding your Buddha nature, your Buddhist practice. So he goes on, if your fief is enlarged, in other words, your land holdings are enlarged, provide for them without your from your own stores. So if he gains power through land holdings and so forth from Lord Emma, because now the pendulum is swinging and Lord Emma is starting to feel more positive about Shijo Kingo after this last melee that you know about from previous videos, be generous to their wives, even though they claim to disown you and not want anything to do with you. Make sure their households are well taken care of. Be generous in spirit and in actual earthly affairs toward them, regardless of how your brothers feel about you. Make sense? Now that's an aspect of forbearance you might not have considered. Sparing no effort to support them. So long as you do this, your deceased parents will protect you without fail, and Nichiren's meditations will be answered at last. So those two abstract statements might also be sources of confusion. We've talked about parents and filial responsibility, and I went into this in some depth in the prayers or the meditations for the deceased relatives, and the way our energy, our karma is built, right? And the parents are a chunk of our samsaric existence that we carry with us in our lifetime before and after our actual samsaric relationships and existence. That is to say that even after our parents are gone, their karma, their energy, the aspects that we carry in us of mother and father remain alive within us. And so that karma, which you would, in Nichiren parlance, speak of as Ichinen Sanzen, still flows through us. And so as we forbear, as we act generously, even to those who are disloyal to us, we satiate and we honor that karma, that mother-father karma that protects the child, us. So we act as our own parent, in other words. And Nietzsche's meditations will be answered at last. Nietzsche's meditations are on the protection of his members and their enlightenment, their awakening. So Nietzsche's meditations are in line with parenting, mother, father. See, that it's a very, the words to a Westerner or to anyone who's not familiar with Buddhism might sound like these are several different things, but they're in actuality the same feeling, the same dignity and dedication and wish for, right? Wish is a, not a good word, but intent, okay? No matter how much your brothers as wives may be to blame, pretend not to notice. You know, maybe they're in the background going, well, you just forget about Chijo Kengo. He's just a this and that and that, and he's not going to get you any closer to Lord Emma, and you need to work around him. Blah, blah, blah. They may be, in actuality, supporting the disloyalty of the brothers. But just don't pay attention to that. Don't let that suck you down into that lower world, that lower life condition. Just don't hear it. Just be kind. Whatever you're able to be, you know, don't extend yourself to immolation, but extend yourself as you would a generous leader, an older, although he's one of the brothers is older than him, but you understand what I mean. Be the parent is the message here. In view of the situation, it appears to me that if you simply conduct yourself as I've advised, your lands will be increased still further and people's trust in you will be restored. So he'll make greater gains in his relationship with Lord Emma simply because of his generosity to those who might not be so generous to him. But don't make it a competition. Just be the best Shijo Kingo that you can be, right? Exercise your Buddha nature, always. That always trumps any other response, right? As I've often mentioned before, it is said that where there is unseen virtue, there will be visible reward. So here's the title of the Go Show, such as it is. Basically, again, reiterating that this may be an inconspicuous thing that you do to support your brothers' families. It's not something you publicize worldwide, but it's just a causal thing, a Buddhist dignity thing that you do to rise to your better self, or more accurately, don't let yourself be negatively influenced, right? Work actively to counter that. And then you will receive rewards that everyone will notice, as in greater land holdings and so on and so forth, right? So there it is. Unseen virtue is turned into a visible reward. Your fellow samurai all slandered you to your lord, and he also has wondered if it was true. But because you have for some years now honestly maintained a strong desire for your lord's welfare in his future, you received a blessing like this. So evidently he's already received an increase to his fiefdom, and it's quite likely that that's what precipitated his brother's jealousy, his brother's older and younger jealousy at his continued success with Lord Emma while they are still in the same position. Right? Be confident that the great reward also is sure to come. Again, you must be on good terms with those who believe in this teaching, neither seeing, hearing, nor pointing out anything about them that may displease you. Calmly continue to offer meditations. What I mentioned above is not a matter of personal opinion. I have extracted and written down the main points of the 3,000 volumes of the non-Buddhist writings and the 5,000 volumes of Buddhist scriptures. Evidently for his review, which with this chunk of the letter we're not seeing any more about, except this reference. With my deep respect, Nichiren. This is a reply to Shijo Kingo. So obviously Shijo Kingo must have written him, Nichiren, about this situation with his brothers, asking, you know, what he should do. Should he now have reprisals against them? How should he behave? And so Nichiren very clearly, once again, comes down on the side of calming Shijo Kingo down and explaining to him that with his Buddha nature, he can not only dignify his position, but strengthen his practice and his awakening. And that consequently can only result in a better state of samsaric life, right? Because this is, after all, the objective of Buddhism, to live this life as well as your potential can manifest, as well as possible for you, whatever that is. For you doesn't mean you're better or less or whatever than anyone else. It's just that our karmic, our energetic momentum in life has its particular energy, its particular insights, understanding, experience. And my experience is not your experience, but together we can all experience our maximal experience, our Buddha of life process, right? And so to manifest that in this life, for specifically your life, how could it get any better? There is no better than him or worse than her or whatever. It is your Buddha. So it is the maximum it can be, your wonderful, amazing experience of the life. So, forbearance, it's a big term, has many aspects. And I thought this was an important one to add to the mix. Once again, thank all of you for paying attention and deriving your own insights from this, and discussions in the comments. They're getting to be more discussions, and that's just wonderful. That's just the Sangha at work. You know, everything you question or have insights about are questions and insights that we all have certain experiences of, or that we can find through your comments. So the discussion is lively and critical to our propagation, our bodhisattva activity of Myoho Renge Kyo. Thanks again. We'll talk soon. My eye's getting better, for those of you who've expressed concern about it. Thank you, really. That's amazing, and I appreciate your concern. But so just to assuage any concerns, I'm constantly improving. That's not to say I'm done taking those darn drops, those those antibiotic ointment things that make my eye all shiny and gooey. But yeah, I'm in no pain, just the annoyance of Vaseline eye. It's not Vaseline, but it's like I'm looking through petroleum jelly. So I hope that doesn't bother you. And don't forget to download the podcasts. Hopefully they're helpful. A lot of you are. The podcasts are just being downloaded left and right. So that's gratifying, because that means you guys want to do more study on your own. So I'm deeply grateful that that's working out really well. The Buddhahood podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And in the meantime, I'll just let you go for now. Have a great day. Stay healthy. Namo myoho renge kyo.